I want you to take God's Word and be finding Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Tonight I want us to think on the central theme of this psalm, which is the goodness of God. This psalm is an excellent reminder to us of how good God is to us. And it is a song of praise to God that magnifies the goodness of God, especially as we find ourselves in difficult circumstances and difficult times. It is in those times that God's goodness is so put on display. And so times of adversity really serve as a black velvet backdrop that the diamond of His goodness is placed into our lives, and it bursts forth in a way that is so glorious. And so tonight I want us to look at Psalm 107. I want to read just the first couple of verses to introduce you to the central theme of this psalm. This psalm begins, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." There is no misunderstanding where this psalm is headed. And it is a great reminder for every one of us here tonight that our God is a good God, and He is greatly to be praised. I've shared with you before the story of Harry Ironside, who was a pastor in downtown Chicago, at a very historic church that is named Moody Memorial Church. Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist of the 19th century, was used by God to help establish this church as he traveled the world and was a great evangelist. But Harry Ironside pastored this church and tells the story one time as he pastored there in downtown Chicago, and there's a variety of all kinds of people that meet in a cosmopolitan town like Chicago, that one day a woman came to him for counseling, and she spoke of two men that were following her. And as Harry Ironside listened to this precious woman who came for counseling, he noticed her eyes were darting back and forth, and her voice was quivering, and she seemed to be somewhat be paranoid. And he was soon able to discern that these were fictitious men that she thought was following her. And for the life of him, he could not convince her that no one was following her. And then a scripture came to his mind, Psalm 23. At the end of Psalm 23, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life." And so Dr. Ironside said to this woman, really just wanting to encourage her and not misrepresenting the truth at all, he said, "Well, I'll tell you who these people are and what their names are." She said, "Oh, that would be so wonderful." She said, "They are two of David's friends, King David in the Bible." She said, "Yes, I've read of King David." And he said, "Well, he has sent two of his men to follow you wherever you go." She said, "What are their names?" And he read to her the last verse in Psalm 23. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life." Well, her eyes just lit up. Her countenance beamed and glowed. And she said, "Oh, Pastor, thank you so much. I'm glad to know that their names are goodness and mercy." Well, I wish that we could be that naive tonight. I wish that we could just take the scripture at face value and realize that God's goodness and God's mercy does in fact follow us wherever we go. God is a good God, and we will never be separated from the love of God or the goodness of God. In fact, God's very name in the English, we identify the Lord by this name, God. And it comes from the German word for gut, which is for good. The very name of God comes from a German derivative as it's drawn into the English language for good. The very name of God reminds us that He is good. In fact, God is the highest good in the entire universe, and He is the source of all goodness. The Bible says in James 1, verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from above, the Father of unshifting shadows, with whom there is no variation. Everything that is good in this world has come from God. There is nothing good that has originated within ourselves or has originated within man or has come from society or civilization. Everything that is good has come from God. God is the source of everything that is good. Nahum the prophet said in Nahum 1, verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who take refuge in Him. Well, may this study of our psalm tonight encourage us to take refuge in the Lord and discover afresh the goodness of our God. A.W. Pink writes in his book, The Attributes of God, all that emanates from God, His decrees, His creation, His laws, His providence, cannot be otherwise than good, unquote. And that is so true. Everything that flows from God is perfectly good. There is nothing that comes from God that is bad. There is nothing that comes from God that is less than perfect. Everything that comes from God is good. And yet, unfortunately, there are times when people doubt the goodness of God. Even believers in times of great discouragement may doubt the goodness of God. The loss of a loved one to death, or the loss of a job, or the loss of health, or some disappointment can often cause our hearts to become clouded and at times perhaps question the goodness of God, or why is God holding back His goodness towards me? Well, I think it'll be good for us tonight to look at this psalm, to reinforce God's goodness to our hearts tonight, and be reminded of this great and wonderful truth of the goodness of our God. It's a rather long psalm, as you probably are able to note, and I'm not certain that we will be able to make our way entirely through this psalm, and so perhaps time will only permit our going through a portion of this psalm. The good news for you is Awana does get out on time, so we will be concluding at some point here. Now, I have had the joy and the luxury of reading and studying this psalm today and over the last days as I've been flying on airplanes and sitting in a hotel. And my heart has been lifted up as I have meditated on this psalm. And I want this to be a choice piece of scripture for your heart tonight. By way of overview, I like to give you the overview of the psalm or whatever passage we're looking at. And when I can see the division of the psalm, it helps me understand where we're going. And so as you're jotting down perhaps an outline, there are three main headings that I want you to see with this psalm. First, the praise for God's goodness. That's verses 1 through 3. And then the portraits of God's goodness, verses 4 through 32. And the psalmist will give us four portraits or pictures of God's goodness. He will take us back into the history of Israel and bring to our remembrance four specific occasions when God acted on behalf of His people and put His goodness on display at a time when they were in the midst of adversity. And then finally, verses 33 to 43, I want you to see principles of God's goodness as we will look at some general principles of the goodness of the Lord. Well, let's begin where the psalm begins, with praise for God's goodness. And the first three verses really form the beginning of this psalm. I would remind you, as you study the psalms on your own, and I would encourage you to make them a part of your devotional life, make them a part of your prayer life, that after the third verse and before the fourth verse, the translators have skipped some spaces, and you will see some extra white space in your Bible. I hope that you do. And that has been supplied by the translator to help us see that we've moved from the first stanza to the next stanza. The Psalms were written like songs. And so there would be a first verse, and I don't mean a Bible verse, I mean like a verse or a stanza of a song, and then a white space, and we move to the second verse. And you'll notice after verse 9 and before verse 10, it's a literary device. It's called a strophe, like verses 4 through 9, and that is like the stanza of a song. And then verses 10 through 16 form the next unit of thought, and verses 17 through 22, I hope your eye is able to see this in your own Bible. And that's helpful to see, because here is a psalm of 43 verses, and it can be a bit imposing to try to begin to understand what this psalm is saying. Well, there's an old saying that goes like this: it's hard by the yard, but a cinch by the inch. And when we break it down into bite sizes, we can understand what God is saying to us in a particular psalm. Well, I've entitled verses 1 through 3, Praise for God's Goodness. And what it is, it's a call to worship. It is a call to offer thanks to God. To offer thanks to God for His goodness. And the mere fact that verse 1, in fact, let me read verse 1 again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. The mere fact that this psalm begins in such a way really is a reminder to us that our hearts are often prone to wander from this. That we are prone at times to forget to give thanks to God for His goodness. And that there are times when we may even doubt the goodness of God. And so this is a call to worship that each one of us in our own hearts, each one of us needs to be reminded to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to Him, and specifically for His goodness. This is one of God's attributes. Just like God is holy, and God is sovereign, and God is righteous, etc., God is also marked by His goodness. And so He begins by saying, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. We as Christians alone can really give thanks to God, because we alone truly understand from whence our blessings come. I don't really understand how the world can even celebrate Thanksgiving, because they don't know the source of their blessings. They just give thanks to themselves, or thanks to man, or thanks to society, or thanks to just a vacuum. But we understand that our blessings come from God. And I want to say again that there is nothing good in your life but that it comes directly from God. It cannot be traced to any other ultimate source but the Lord. And so it is to the Lord that we give thanks, and how we need to be continually looking for the good in every situation. Matthew Henry is a great Bible teacher of yesteryear. Many of you have his devotional commentary on the Bible. I would encourage you to get a copy of Matthew Henry's devotional commentary. The story is told one time of Matthew Henry as he lived several hundred years ago, when after going to church one day and walking home after preaching, he fell among robbers and thieves, and he was attacked, and all of his money was taken, and he was hurt. And as he got up, he went home, and he gave thanks to the Lord. And he began to think, and he offered thanks to the Lord that his life was spared, that they only took that which was perishable. He gave thanks to the Lord that it happened to him and not to someone else, because he is a believer, understanding that all things work together for good. If it had happened to someone else, that it might be such a source of great discouragement that they would not be able to handle it. And so he actually offered thanks that it happened to him. And he began to think through all the various things for which he could give thanks. He gave thanks that he had money in his pocket, that God had provided so wonderfully for him, that there was something even to be stolen. He gave thanks that they didn't take all of it, that only part was taken. He gave thanks that he had more resources at home, etc. That is the mindset of a very spiritual man. And I pray that God will train our own hearts and train our mindset to be believers who are constantly giving thanks in all things. You remember what the sin of Israel was in the wilderness? It was a heart of unbelief, and there were many manifestations or many fruits of that unbelief, one of which was they murmured in the wilderness. They were marked by complaining and grumbling. They were a people who did not give thanks to the Lord as they should have. And we learn from that that one of the marks of a truly growing spiritual man or woman is that we give thanks in all things. We don't necessarily give thanks for all things, but we can give thanks in all things. As God is at work in every circumstance of life, there to work for His glory and for our good. No matter what tragedy will ever befall us, God will be working for our good because He promises us that He causes all things to work together for our good. That is the mindset of a very maturing believer in Jesus Christ. And I trust that you can embrace that kind of a mindset as well. I don't know what all is going on in your life tonight, what you left at work, what you left at home, what kind of bills or news or reports have come into your life. We are all subject to great disappointments in life. There's not a one of us that goes through life without being confronted with various trials like this. But that in the midst of all of this, we can have a grateful, humble heart. Someone has well said, we will either be humbly grateful or grumbly hateful. One of the two. And so it really is a choice of the will to choose to give thanks to the Lord. One woman said, do you ever wake up grumpy? And she said, no, I usually let him sleep in until about 7. So we don't want to wake up that way. We want to wake up giving thanks to the Lord. And you will notice it says, for He is good. That means that His character is good. He is good. And therefore, everything that flows out of His character and His heart and His will is the same, right? For bad does not come out of good. Only good can come out of good, right? And so because God is infinitely good, there can only be good come from God. If there was bad to come from God, then that would say that God is bad, right? That's just very simple thinking. I want to show you a couple of verses that really make this very clear. And I'll stay in the Psalm, Psalm 119 and verse 68. And by the way, one of these Wednesday nights, I'm going to be teaching on some Psalm 119. So you can bring your sleeping bag that night, and we'll have a lock-in for adults, all right? Psalm 119 and verse 68 is a great verse. May this verse encourage your heart tonight. Psalm 119 and verse 68. You are good. That's a reminder of God's character, God's attributes, God's essence, God's being. He is good. 1 John 1:5 says God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And we can merge that with this verse, God is good, and there is nothing other than pure, perfect goodness that is the heart and the character of God. Therefore, in verse 68, notice what flows from the goodness of God. You are good and do good. Everything that God does towards you, I want to assure you, it is good. As you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, God is working all things together for your good. The circumstances for the moment may be discouraging, but you just know that God is with you and He is working for your good, and that in good time, good will come into your life from the hand of God. Let's look at a couple of other verses. Psalm 86 and verse 5. Psalm 86 and verse 5. And the psalmist says, For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. I think that's such a powerful verse. Sometimes people are reticent to come to God and asking for His forgiveness. And we need to be reminded that God is ready to forgive. He's in the business of forgiveness. It's the heart of God to forgive. He delights in forgiving us our sins because He is a good God. Come to Psalm 25 and verse 8. Psalm 25 and verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He instructs sinners in the way. One expression of the goodness of God is His guidance in our life. God has a will for our life. And Romans 12, verse 2 says, the will of God is what? It is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, His will is good because it comes from Himself, right? And one expression of God's goodness is not only has He planned a good will for our lives, but He also guides us into His perfect will. It's a double goodness. Out of His goodness, He has planned the path for us to take. And in addition to that, He will show us that good and acceptable and perfect will. So we thank the Lord for His goodness. I was reminded as I was looking at this today of the first chapter in the Bible, Genesis 1. Verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light was good. And throughout the first chapter, at the end of each of the 6 days of creation, everything that God made, God saw that it was good. Because it came from the hand of God. God can only create that which is good. And so man mars what God makes as good. The devil destroys and corrupts what God makes as good. For example, God created the institution of marriage. It is good. It is acceptable. It is perfect because it has come from the loving heart of God. Now man corrupts that plan. God destroys, a man destroys that plan. Man will say, we'll just move in together and live together but not be married. And God just, a man destroys God's plan. Or man may say, I want to marry another person of my own gender. And that is a corruption of God's good plan. But what God has ordained, it comes from the good heart of God. God has ordained that the church be His community of believers and that we would function in a certain way as an expression of God's goodness for us. So, what we're saying is that this psalm begins with a call to our own hearts, every single one of us here tonight. This needs to be the anthem that is in our mouth tonight. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His loving kindness is everlasting. That means there is no fluctuation of God's love towards us. It is an everlasting love. In fact, it is from eternity past. It goes all the way into eternity future. It is His steadfast, loyal love toward us. And that, too, is an expression of God's goodness to us. So, this psalm begins with a call to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Now, we have a wonderful opportunity as we fellowship one with another to give glory to God and to give praise to God one with another that will cause others who hear us speak of the goodness of God, that will cause me to want to give thanks to God as I hear you. Even in the midst of, let's say, difficulty in your life, give glory to God and ascribe greatness to God because He is good. What a powerful effect we can have on uplifting one another's spirit as we give thanks to God for His goodness. That's exactly what the next verse teaches us in verse 2 in Psalm 107. Notice the next verse. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We need to be always saying so with one another. God is good. Let me tell you what God has done in my life today. Let me tell you how the Lord has answered prayer. Let me tell you how God is at work in this situation. Let me share with you a portion of Scripture, a verse that has ministered to my life. We need to be always giving a testimony with one another of the goodness of God. Sometimes I fear with some groups, and I don't fear it with us, but sometimes as I'm with various groups, that sharing prayer requests is almost like having a grumbling party of what's not going on in my life. Now, we can share needs with one another, but it needs to be framed within the larger context of the goodness of God as we share our prayer requests one with another. So, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That would be you. That would be me. Because we are the redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. And the adversary here is the enemies, are the enemies of the people of God. And who would that be? Well, in this particular psalm, that refers to, the Babylonians, as Israel had been in Babylonian captivity. This psalm was probably written at the end of the Babylonian captivity, after that time, as Israel now is coming back to their promised land, coming back to rebuild the temple, back to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, as Ezra and Zerubbabel and Nehemiah are leading the people of God back, and they look back upon the time that they had been in captivity and God has released them. They are giving now testimony to the goodness of God for how God has worked. So I believe that's the explanation of verse 2. And then in verse 3, the psalmist really takes a step back and he spans the centuries and he thinks of the many different times when the goodness of God has delivered God's people out of oppressive and difficult circumstances. So in verse 3, he says, gathered from the lands. And the lands here refer to foreign lands where God's people have been outside of the promised land and they have been held captive by foreign oppressors to the east and to the west and to the north and to the south. It was there that God gathered them up and brought them back to the place of His focused blessing in the promised land. Now understand this. The goodness of God does not prevent us from going through times of trials and adversity. But what the goodness of God does is deliver us out of trials and adversities. And the goodness of God uses trials and adversities for our own good. We need to be crystal clear about this. Just because God is good does not mean there will not be times of difficulty in our Christian life. We live in a fallen world. The devil is real. Sin continues to indwell our flesh. There will be times of difficulty. That does not negate the goodness of God. But what the goodness of God does do is deliver us out of times of trial and adversity and use those times for His glory and for our good. And so we really gather that from verse 3. Let me just comment on these different directions on the compass. He says, and gathered from the lands from the east. To the east of Israel was the empire of Babylon. And it referred to the time when the people of God were taken into Babylonian captivity. That's very much on our minds tonight because on a modern day map, Babylon is Iraq, the land between the Tigris and the Euphrates River. And so that is to the east. He then mentions in verse 3 from the west. And that would refer to the land of Philistia and the Philistines. And there were different times when the people of God had skirmishes and battles with the Philistines. You're aware of that. and at times when they were taken captive by the Philistines. And then from the north, that refers to Syria, which is still on the map today, and Assyria, which is to the north and then to the east. That's where the 10 tribes of Israel were taken into Assyrian captivity to be released at a later time. And then from the south, that refers to Egypt. And of course, early on in the history of Israel, the people of God were held captive for 400 years in Egypt. And it was from Egypt that God raised up Moses to deliver his people out of the south, or in Egypt. And so in this one verse, in verse 3, the psalmist reminds us of the goodness of God. How God's people had been delivered from the north, the south, the east, and the west. The idea from every direction. God's goodness has been put on display before the watching eyes of his people. And my friend, the same is true in our lives as well. From every direction, God's goodness has been put on display, and God has delivered us out of many of a trial and out of many of a difficulty, whether it be a financial difficulty, whether it be a marital difficulty, whether it be a vocational difficulty, whether it be a family difficulty, whatever that difficulty would be, God has been faithful to us, and he has delivered us over and over again out of those times. God is a rescuing God. In fact, one of the commentators that I read on this psalm entitled this psalm, God to the Rescue. And that's what, that really describes how God works in our lives. God is always coming to our rescue to deliver us out of adversity, out of trials, and out of difficult circumstances. So if you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, if you find yourself in a dark time, just know that God is coming to the rescue, and God will work on your behalf. So that's where this psalm begins, and maybe that's where you find yourself tonight. And I want to remind you that this psalm is intended to encourage your heart that God is good. And let us give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Now, as we move into verse 4, we begin now a major section of this psalm that I've entitled Portraits of God's Goodness. And beginning in verse 4, running through verse 32, you will notice that there are four sections of Scripture. Verses 4 through 9, verses 10 through 16, verses 17 through 22, and then verses 23 through 32. I think you can visually see that in your Bible. These next four stanzas are the four portraits of God's goodness. The psalmist now is illustrating the goodness of God. Not only does he tell us that God is good, he now portrays the goodness of God. And so, portrait number one is found in verses 4 through 9. And it deals with the wilderness wanderings. Israel's wilderness wanderings. And so let's look at that now. This may be all that we have time for tonight, but there's a great blessing in this for us. Look at verse 4. Portrait number 1, wilderness wanderings. Now, verse 4. They, referring to Israel, the people of God, wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. It's very clear that this is referring to the 40 years of wilderness wandering by Israel in the wilderness when they went in circles for four decades. And the reason they did is because of their own unbelief and because of their own stubbornness of heart. God would have taken them in very quickly had they moved forward by faith. But because they doubted God, and because they pulled back in unbelief, and because they were marked by complaining and ingratitude, God left them to their own ways. And they went in circles for 40 years. So much so, at the end of verse 4 it says, they did not find a way to an inhabited city. And in an inhabited city, they would have found a supply of food and a supply of water, which would have satisfied them and sustained them, but they could not even find their way to a city where they could have had their physical needs met. In their own wanderings, they just remained in the desert, in waste places, because they would not follow the Lord in obedience. And so it says in verse 5, they were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them and had an effect beyond just even their body, but their own soul became greatly burdened and discouraged because of this great need in their life. Now, I want to remind you at this point, although verse 4 and 5 does not state it, nevertheless, and it's a key point for us here, the reason they were in this state is because of their own sin. They made wrong choices. And so, after this, we read in verse 6, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. This is a reoccurring verse in this psalm that runs through each of these four portraits. And I want to draw it to your attention right now. Look at verse 13. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Look at verse 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Look at verse 28. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And what this is saying is that God's people had to finally come to a point where they were sick and tired of being sick and tired. They had to come to a point where they realized they couldn't get themselves out of their own mess. And the more they went on, the more lost they were becoming. They had lost their ball in the weeds and they couldn't find their way back to the fairway. And they finally realized it. And they finally came to this place when they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. They had to swallow their pride and call out to the Lord in their trouble. Now I want you to notice the second half of verse 6. This is how good God is. It says, He delivered them out of their distress. Now, if I had been God, I would have said, listen, you've made your bed. You're going to lay in it. These are the choices you've made. You have decided to go your own way. You've turned your back on me. You thought you were smarter than me. I'm just going to let you keep going in this certain direction. But God is so good that even when we get ourselves into certain messes, when we finally come to the end of ourselves, and in the midst of our trouble, we cry out to God with humility and humble ourselves before the Lord, God is so good. Remember, He is ready to forgive and to restore us. And it says in verse 6, He delivered them out of their distress. He came to their rescue. And Israel's entire history, now listen to this, was a history of their rebellion against God. And God just then letting them go their own way. When you get what you want, you're not going to want what you get. And God just lets them go their own way. Until finally, and they had a history of this, they finally just run out of gas in the middle of nowhere and finally look up to God for help. And they call on the Lord, and God is there, and God is ready to forgive, and God is ready to restore them and bring them back because God is a good and merciful God. That, in a nutshell, is the entire history of the nation Israel. And it continues to this present day as Israel still is in a state of going their own way. And that's what's going to happen in the tribulation, is Israel will finally come to the end of herself. And one more time, in her trouble, she will cry out to the Lord. And when God hears that call for help, if God will hear, and in the tribulation, God will save 144,000 Jews. And from that, there will be a great turning to God and the nation Israel. In fact, in Romans 11, it says, all Israel will be saved. I think it's hyperbolic, but it means a great mass of souls in the nation Israel will finally call out to the Lord, and God will save them. And that is the great hope of us, even for Israel, that they will yet come to the Lord. Well, I want you to know that that is true in so many of our lives as well, if we were to write our own history. That there are those times after we've been on fire for God that we have drifted and we have become lukewarm and we have gone the way of the world until finally God in His discipline brings us to a point where we finally call out to the Lord, and God is so good that He hears our prayer and He is ready to forgive and He restores us and He brings us back to Himself. Look at verse 7. We see how God, as He delivered them out of their distress, He led them also by a straight way. In other words, to no longer go in circles, He would now lead them from point A to point B in a straight way. So it won't have to take you another 40 years to get where you need to be. And listen, it's been well said, Martin Lloyd-Jones said it, God can do more in 5 minutes working with us than we can do for God in 5 years without Him. And so God gave them, led them by a straight way, and was able to finally now lead them into the promised land and to an inhabited city to provide for their needs. And as they went into the promised land, there were already cities established. And as they went in, they conquered those cities and they were allowed to eat the fruits that had been prepared by those cities. And they inherited the vineyards and they inherited all the blessing of the land. And God had it all prepared for them. So He says in verse 8, this is what He calls on the people to do in this day, and this is what He calls on our hearts to do tonight. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. His wonders speak of the dramatic interventions of God. Those times when God intervenes into the lives of His people and works in such an extraordinary way that it creates a sense of wonder in our hearts. You know, we've heard about shock and awe these last days, that the military would work in such an extraordinary way. The effect would be awe in the hearts of the people as they would observe the display of such sheer power unfolded before the eyes of the people. But when He says in verse 8, and for His wonders to the sons of men, He is referring to the effect in the hearts of God's people to create a sense of wonder and create a sense of awe in our heart that God did it. I want to tell you, there's a sense of wonder and awe in my heart on what God has done in our midst in the last couple of months. I pray I never get over it, that God has worked in such an extraordinary way. God has intervened in our midst. It's been an invisible hand of the Lord that's done it. But I tell you what, we have felt that invisible hand, have we not? And we have seen the effects of that invisible hand as God has worked on our behalf. And it has created wonder in our hearts, and we give Him thanks for it. So let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men, for He has satisfied the thirsty soul. I find it interesting He does not say the thirsty body, but the thirsty soul. God worked deeper than even meeting their physical needs. God met their emotional needs and God met their spiritual needs, which were their deepest needs. For He has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul He has filled with what's our word here? Good. God is so good. Well, I'm going to stop right here and put us all in shock and wonder. And I'm just going to stop right here. And we will pick it up next Wednesday evening together. And I want you to be back, because we're going to look at the next 3 portraits of God's goodness. And then we're going to learn some principles about God's goodness to have this reinforced to our own heart. Now, here's what I want to leave with you as we bring this study to a conclusion. What we discover in this psalm is that God delights in working in very difficult circumstances. Whenever the hour is the darkest, and whenever the circumstances can become the most heated, that is when God delights in intervening on our behalf and putting His goodness on display. And with us gathered here tonight, we have enough family members going through difficult times, and in our own families, we have difficulty with in-laws, we have difficulty with work, etc., etc. And if every one of us really were honest with ourselves, we would have to say, Pastor, that is true in one way or another in my life somewhere, even tonight. And I want to encourage you with this, that the Lord is good, and He will work for your good and for His glory, and He delights in doing so, and we need to give thanks to the Lord when He does so. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let us speak of the goodness of our God with one another. You know, our evangelism even, I think, would be more effective if we would just speak more of the goodness of God. You know, you can attract more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. You know that? And people are drawn to what is good. And so even as we talk about the Lord and what God has done, and as we speak of the cross and the what kind of news? The good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And He has been so good to forgive us of our sins, right? I thank Him that He's not given us what we deserve. He has given us what we do not deserve. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 and verse 19. So, let us be those whose hearts are filled with thanksgiving and who give testimony of the goodness of our God. And I have no idea what all circumstances in your life have been transpired, but that God had you come tonight to even hear this psalm to be reminded of the goodness of our Lord. Well, let's pray. Father, we praise You that You are a good God. We understand that every attribute is marked by Your goodness. Everything that You do is marked by Your goodness. You've never done anything that was bad. You have never done anything that was imperfect. All of Your works of creation, all of Your works of redemption, all of Your works of providence are good. And so we bless Your name that You have put Your goodness on display in our lives. Thank You that You've allowed us to come to a gathering like this tonight to hear the pure truth of Your Word and to be with other like-minded believers and to come and to join our hearts together. We thank You that You would allow us such a privilege as this. Thank You even for our health that would allow us to come and be here tonight. And so we give thanks to You, for You are good, and because Your loving kindness is everlasting. Bless each and every heart here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.